Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the president of the State Council on Post-Secondary Education, Aaron Thompson, and his son, Michael. Thank you both so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Leanne, for the invitation.
Now, President Thompson, you are here in town to help wrap up the Governor's Scholar Program here at Morehead State University. And that's a program that I know kind of has a special place in your heart. So tell me why you think it's important for this program to continue and what it does for the students who participate.
A great question. First of all, I'm on the board of Governor's Scholar, but also been speaking to Governor's Scholars now for, I don't know, way over a decade. And as Michael will tell you, he, in fact, was a Governor's Scholar when he was a junior in high school, rising senior. Yeah, it's important for a lot of reasons. I mean, one of the main reasons, I think, is that it helped very bright students academically come together in a college or university-like atmosphere and have all those other elements that what we think is truly college-ready, those social, emotional, cultural aspects. It brings people together in ways that I think is fairly strong when you think about a community of scholars. And Governor Scholars, to me, in my opinion, the best in the country. But more than that, it is truly what we would exemplify as our best and brightest coming together to kind of add and think about how we take the future of learning in Kentucky.
I've always been impressed with my interactions. As somebody who lives in Morehead, we get to interact with the Governor Scholars when they're here during the summer, and it's always amazing to meet these young people who are so energized and interested in the community and in learning and all the opportunities that the program seems to present to them. Michael, as your experience as a scholar and now as a staff member, how has that really impacted your learning experience and the degree that you're working on now?
So anyone who works for the program will tell you that above all else, we are an intellectual program. However, I think that kind of downplays the massive amounts of networking and social skills that are gained through the GSP. So as a scholar, it definitely allowed me to make connections with other scholars from around the state, but also faculty members with whom I could connect with throughout my college career. And now as a double major in studio arts and English, really some of the skills that I learned at GSP have carried over into my college experience. And now kind of working on the other side of the curtain as a staff, I kind of hope to bring that same experience to the 340 scholars on Morehead's campus this year.
I didn't realize that there were so many, but I mean, I see them and they are massive when they move in their little packs and they're full. They fill up the places where we eat on campus, and it's great to see them and their experience. But they're here for how many weeks?
5 weeks. So we are in the fifth week right now.
Mm-hmm. And when you were a scholar, I mean, is there something that you took away from the program that you were like, this is what made it all worth it?
I think just the way that the program is conducive to very good communication between scholars and faculty. We kind of always say that everyone is a scholar here. We all address each other on a first name basis. All of the faculty, whether they be a doctor or a high school student, kind of all address each other in the same colloquial manner. And because of that, I think it allowed me to just have really good communication skills, which allows me to communicate with professors and other professionals in college and then hopefully further in my career.
As a communications person, I love to hear that because so many people don't think that communication competencies are that important, but though it really does make a difference in your long-term career goals, I think. Now, President Thompson, GSP really focuses on the importance of leadership. And how do you expect those scholars to move forward with what they're learning at GSP?
You know, in every conversation I have with a scholar, and I'll have it tonight a little bit later on, I challenge them to understand exactly not only the benefit of Governor Scholar for themselves, but truly for the future of Kentucky and of America. These young people, if you ever really want to feel good about the future of Kentucky and America, go to a Governor's Scholars program and watch these folks interact and watch them, in fact, challenge you as the person who's the head of higher ed for Kentucky, challenge me to even think about how I'm doing business. So the leadership paradigm, and I really like the way Michael kind of expressed it. Sure, it's a bunch of intellectual kids, but it's also a bunch of intellectual kids applying these key knowledges, I call it, these employability skills around communications, leadership, critical thinking, and even creative output in a way that has an impact currently on the way we look at good public policy, mm-hmm. but surely on the way that we can think about who's going to be running those public policy elements in the future. So Governor Scholar is truly an ecosystem, more than just a training ground that currently exists in the summertime for a bunch of young people around the state. But in fact, it creates an ecosystem of learning even way beyond this summer, as Michael mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. He still hangs out with a lot of those folk that he became friends with when he was in the program.
It immediately gives you a network, and I think that's a really valuable thing that students take away from it. Michael, when you had your experience, now you've seen it from the other side as being a member of the staff, and you were a student with one and a scholar. Is there something that you'd like to see in the program to change? I mean, it's a great program, and I know you guys really enjoy it. But if you had whatever you wanted, you could make it a little different. What would you change about the program?
I wouldn't really change anything about it logistically. Overall, I would just like to find more ways to find different sorts of diversity in the program, and also hopefully find ways to get more scholars into the program, because while 1,000 students is a lot, I think even more students just have a greater ability to impact Kentucky and hopefully our nation.
Now, do the students who go through the program, do they take what they learn and try to implement it in their like home high schools whenever they go back to wherever they're from?
Yeah, so as an RA, we run something called a seminar, which is where we do a lot of the personal growth and social growth. And so this week we are kind of talking about reentry. So really just before I came over here, I was having a conversation with my group of seminar students, and we were kind of talking about what have you learned at GSP? What are some of the ways you've grown personally and intellectually? And then third, how are you going to take those things that we just talked about and discussed and bring them back into your home life? And so GSP is 5 weeks long, but also kind of the values we learn here also go into everyone's life and affect everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And let me add something to that on a very personal note. When Michael came back from GSP, it was amazing, in fact, at the transformation. Not that he wasn't always almost there, but the idea that he took a lot of those, what I call those skills that he had obtained before he went to GSP, and really they became honed. Mm-hmm. They became something that he applied constantly within the home as well as within the setting of school that he was in. So in fact, his statement is truly one, and your question is truly one that I think is maybe one of the primary benefits of Governor Scholar that we don't talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me what having leadership training does in any field. The continuing education, being a lifelong learner, is so important to your overall health as being a good citizen of just your tiny little town that you may live in, or if you're a global citizen. And I think that the training you get at GSP, the other leadership academies that are available for young students and even for adults, are incredibly beneficial to a human and to society. So I love to see those opportunities. And I'm excited to get to see people who are both sides of the coin here, who participated and now facilitate for that. Mm-hmm. Do you find it's difficult to turn over from being a camper to being a scholar, not a camper, but a scholar, to being someone who's in charge of students?
I thought it would be initially, just because in 2016, I was on Morehead's campus. Mm-hmm. So coming back here, there was a lot of nostalgia just because of my GSP experience here. However, I did really realize the grave amount of difference between 16 and 17-year-olds and 20 and 21-year-olds. So while there isn't a huge age gap, I think just the difference of being in college and having already taken those skills that I learned at GSP and having implemented them, it's definitely allowed me to mentor all of these scholars in a very different way. And I think I kind of naturally kind of fell into that role of an RA, and I enjoy it a lot.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And on that note, we're going to take a really quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling will host a Wood Songs Coffee House concert at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 22nd, featuring country singer and songwriter Nick Jamerson.
I've been up and down the river, seen the highways and back roads.
Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students. Nick Jamerson at the Gateway Regional Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 22nd.
Welcome back to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the president of the State Council on Post-Secondary Education, Aaron Thompson, and his son, Michael. Thank you both again for being here on the show. Mr. Thompson, your department recently released the findings of a five-year degree credential production for the Commonwealth, which was really excited. We've seen some growth and the number of Kentuckians completing their studies. So tell me a little bit about what that report came up with.
Well, we looked at one-year growth and five-year growth because we want to make sure that we have a sustainable process in place as we build good education policy and implement good education policy. I'm very happy to report, even in 11 straight years of budget cuts in Kentucky for higher education, you know, our campuses are still performing at a substantial level, both our public four-year and two-year campuses and our private nonprofit campuses that we also license. And what we found is we basically, over 5 years, had 11.4% growth in credentials and degrees, which is phenomenal. You know, we had a 4% growth. And as you all know, my office and, you know, we set a 60% attainment goal, educational attainment goal for Kentucky by 2030, which was a hugely stretched goal. Mm-hmm. If you think about Kentucky and where we were at and starting out somewhere around a 45% attainment in Kentucky. And when we talk about attainment, just let me make sure I'm clear about this. We're talking about a credential or degree that would allow someone to obtain employment with a substantial income or at least an income that is livable. And so what we found is that it took about a 1.7 percentage point growth over between now and 2030 to attain that. This past year, we doubled that. Mm-hmm. So we're very happy with the movement. When you take, though, some of the hardest hitting elements that has in the past kept us from moving as fast as we needed to, we call them the gaps, mm-hmm. Our low income, underrepresented minorities, right. We saw really substantial growth in those areas, especially our underrepresented minorities, mm-hmm. You know, up to 23%. Percentage points increase, and we're closing a gap in Kentucky. We're a long way from closing it, but we are. And actually, one of the more substantial growth areas we had was when you look at low-income people of color. Mm-hmm. So we are getting them in, and we're giving them an opportunity to get the degree. Access has increased, as well as student success. So we're very happy with those numbers.
Now, I think that a lot of people in the service region for Morehead State University are Eastern Kentucky, and they fall into that very low income category. A lot of the people who are from the region originally are attached in some way to coal mining, which we understand is an industry which is declining steadily and disappearing altogether. But are you focusing in on, for those students, what is your discussion from your point of view about vocational education, that certificate attainment?
Sure. Well, let me be clear. I'm the head of higher education. And anything beyond secondary education, K-12, right, is higher education, is college.
Right.
And the misnomer that's there is that if you get a one-year certificate or a two-year degree from our community and technical colleges, that's not college. Well, it is college.
Yes.
It really is. So we're pushing that. Mm-hmm. But we also are pushing that there are, right now we have still probably close to 100,000 middle-skilled jobs that we need to fill in Kentucky that could be filled with those certificates,
right,
that one-year certificate, two-year degree. But if we look at a long-term sustainable future for Kentucky, if we look at jobs that have not yet even been invented, we're also going to have to think about doing that, those one-year, mm-hmm, certificates, and we're doing it fast and we need to do more, but also about getting more baccalaureate and graduate degrees and professional degrees in place. So it's a both and for me. It's not an either or. So, but yes, we in fact, and with the Work Ready Scholarship, you now can go in these big five sector areas and get it paid for free.
Mm-hmm. Which is so a really good opportunity for some people who think, especially those who don't qualify for like federal grant money,
right,
but who could possibly go straight into a career. My son, who's 16, is considering that sort of thing.
Well, I think that's so reasonable to think about. Even if your son wanted to get a four-year degree down the road, mm-hmm, he can go to KCTCS and get a two-year degree, and it will be stackable to the four-year degree here at Moorhead.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do more than anything else is, even if they're in a one-year program, a two-year program, excuse me, or a four-year program, that we're creating a lifelong learning paradigm. So none of these certificates or credentials are in isolation by themselves for just now. They can be, in fact, dynamic for the future.
Right.
The other thing, too, yes, Moorhead. I mean, Moorhead proportionally has one of the highest in the state, if not the highest, I think Kentucky State and Moorhead together, are representing many of our low-income students, especially from Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
And as an African-American who's from Clay County, Central Appalachia, whose father was a coal miner and who was illiterate, I know what poverty is. So, yes, are we doubling down on trying to make sure that all of our students, no matter what background they have the opportunity for success? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We are. And I'm happy to say that, in fact, places like Moorhead are stepping up to the plate for us. So I want to give them, as well as all of our campuses, kudos in that regard.
Speaking of Moorhead, I wanted to discuss the current culture at regional universities, like Moorhead State, like Kentucky State. As you know, MSU and these other regional universities are on the financial struggle bus,
yes,
right now.
They
we
are.
All are.
Yes, we are.
And that's due in part to two major things: increased pension cost, of course, and then also performance-based funding. What are you hoping to see in the next year that could change the situation for MSU and these other regional universities?
Well, it's clear if you're following any of my campaign, higher education matters in Kentucky, and I'm pushing that at all levels. Moorhead cannot sustain itself without new funding. Cannot. Whatever mechanism it comes through, they need to get it.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't. Many of our campuses cannot, even if they're not in where Moorhead's at. And it's true that Moorhead and Kentucky State in the last biennium of the performance funding model have not received new funds. They haven't been cut funds either, which they have a hold harmless clause. But mm-hmm. we've got to get them to a point to where that they get money through the performance funding mechanism. That's number one. So I'm working on that diligently, having conversations now as we're talking. And today, as you all know, that just passed in special session, governor's pension plan. So that will help a lot, because if not, we're already talking about, in addition to 11 straight years of cut, you know, we're paying an employer contribution 49 cents to the dollar
mm-hmm.
on KERS. If we don't get this passed or something passed, you know, we're immediately, as of August 1 or August 10th, I think is the exact date, that goes to, it actually went to July 1, but the way we have to pay, it'd be in August.
Right.
It will go to 83 cents per.
Which changes
dollar.
Everything.
It changes. It's another cut.
Because personnel is huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And so the only way Moorhead and others are going to do this is to get into what I call the quality element of a campus. They have to cut faculty, they have to cut programs, have to cut more staff that focuses on student success, such as advising. And we've gone through this so much and enough that it is clearly my goal is to push to try to get more money in the performance funding model, whereby Morehead and Kentucky State and others will fully share in that process. But it's also trying to make sure that we are not having what I call unprepared cuts, like what would happen with the pension cost.
Yeah. Going back to the report that you guys produced, one thing that I found troubling as someone who works in higher ed, at the baccalaureate level, education degrees did not grow over the one-year period while posting the largest five-year decline. Why do you think fewer people are going into it's like they don't want to go into education?
It's a great question. Let me start the answer off by giving a positive, and then I'm going to give you what I consider to be the honest truth here on that question. One is the positive. We increased our STEM degrees by 45%. So,
true.
I mean, we are doing what I call a yo person's job in the area that we have in the past not been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the positive. What I think is very problematic to me, and my daughter's a teacher and I'm an educator, so I'm all on board with this. We have done a disservice to our teachers and to the teaching profession by not really putting in place what I would argue is I cannot think of a better argument to say that teaching has to be the most needed professional category we have in society. Think about what teachers do. Think about it. They build the human infrastructure for our society, right? More than
everything starts with them.
That's right. Families have their jobs, but teaching and that classroom and the impact of teachers are huge. And each one of us around this microphone table can actually give you examples of what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So we've got to do a better job of talking about the value of the profession, because we've talked about it in such a devalued way. In many cases, sometimes people may not want to go into it. We also have to get to a point of where we're paying teachers their due. And what I mean by that is if they're performing well, let's pay them well. Mm-hmm. If they're not, let's do something about that. Let's not put one size fits all, because it doesn't work neatly that way. But we also have to bring overall teacher pay up. But we've got to do a better job in higher education and P-12 education by identifying students early in their process and help them to get on the track. I'm talking about as early as 7th or 8th grade, like we do our gear up.
Mm-hmm.
But surely by high school and putting them in a pipeline and a pathway toward teaching. Then once we get them in our teacher prep programs, we've got to do a better job of getting them into a classroom in their freshman year. Not everybody should be a teacher.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this gives them an opportunity to see if they fit, but it also gives them what I call the best work-based learning opportunity ever to work with their young folks. Kind of like what Michael's doing at GSP.
Mm-hmm.
This is really putting into a clinical experience that kind of opportunities for teachers. But I think holistically, we're going to have to change our rhetoric around teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to target our best and brightest when they're in high school and college to go into the field. Now, we also have some alternative paths to catch up with that 16% decline. And you know what some of those are. I won't go in great details, but we're not doing that well enough either to advertise how we can get experts from post-secondary, from the business and industry fields, and from other places to come in to be teachers. We have another path other than the traditional university-based education system.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to do a better job on all those. But I'm telling you, we're going to have to really talk about truly what education is, the value of education, and the value of those that put into their cycle and into their lives, and teachers devote their lives to this, a way of thinking about that value that they have and talk about that within the context of professions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think all of us need to really kind of bring that conversation together and build the field, if you will.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
And on that note, that's all the time we have left here on Open Mic. Guys, I really appreciate you being here. The president of the State Council on Post-Secondary Education, Aaron Thompson, and his son, Michael Thompson. Thank you both so much for being here with me today, and I hope you have safe travels back home.
Thanks, Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne. Appreciate it. And keep doing the good stuff here at Moorhead. We need you.
We will try. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you guys next Friday.